This is a WATD Political Forum on 95.9 WATD. Online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
Good evening and welcome to a WATD Political Forum. Tonight, the race is for Kingston Select Board. We've got incumbents Kim Emberg and Sheila Vaughn here, along with candidate Missy Bateman. Good evening. I'm your moderator, Christine James, and I'm joined by reporter Tom Gorman, asking questions. Timing you all is our own Maeve Hanley. She's a Norwell High School senior and an intern here at WATD. Now, our format is simple. We've asked the candidates to have prepared opening and closing statements ready. The opening statement is no longer than 2 minutes, and we time you, and the close is 1 minute, please. Then we have my favorite part, which is the lightning round. It's a round of questions from the reporters where answers are either yes or no, and that's really yes or no without an explanation or a long soliloquy, or two sentences tops. The reporter will ask you what kind of an answer you want. And we also say please try to keep your answers to around a minute. If you consistently go over, ramble, or start to repeat yourself, then you get the bell. We just chose opening and closing order out of the official WATD stand-in newsroom koozie. So we will begin, and the opening order is going to be Missy Bateman, Kim Emberg, and then we're going to go to Sheila Vaughn. That order gets reversed at the end for the closing statement. So we say welcome and good evening. This is the race for Kingston Select Board. Let's start with the opening statement with Missy Bateman.
Thank you, Christine and WATD, for having us. Hello, I'm Melissa Bateman, and I'm here tonight to ask for your vote in the Kingston Selectmen's race on May 18th. I was born and raised here in Kingston, where I live with my husband and two sons. I've been a teacher at the Alden School in Duxbury for 23 years. Prior to teaching, I worked in the banking industry for 5. I've worked diligently and volunteered in different capacities for our community, including serving on the Recreation Commission since 2012. As its current chair, I keep meetings running smoothly while encouraging and inviting open, honest conversations to the table. I played a key role in the Grays Beach Beautification Project, including the rebuilding of both playgrounds and helping to see that the project was completed on time and on budget. As an educator and union member, I've been part of my school system's negotiation team, giving me great insight into the financial aspects of collective bargaining. Our current board has difficult decisions to make and needs members who will participate in constructive, cooperative discussion with a laser focus on outcomes at all times. This is what I hope to bring to the board. My main priorities will be addressing the Council on Aging and Senior Center challenges, help to tackle the current Silver Lake and Kingston school budget overruns, and work with the community to develop a plan to attract and support business here. As a selectman, I will bring experience, critical thinking, healthy discussion, and community input to the forefront. I will support positive leadership in all town departments. I will make decisions rooted in facts, best practices, and consensus. I will encourage more community involvement in town government. I love this town, and I will be a positive voice for Kingston always. Please vote for Melissa Bateman on May 18th.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement for Missy Bateman, and now we're going to go to the opening statement for Kim Emberg.
My name is Kimberly Emberg, and I'm running for re-election on Kingston's Board of Selectmen. I grew up in a small town in New Hampshire and came to Kingston by way of my husband, who moved here when he was in elementary school. My husband and I have 4 sons, one in college, one at Kingston Intermediate School, one at Kingston Elementary School, and one at Silver Lake Integrated Preschool. I have 20 years of experience working in the financial services industry, where I'm a client experience manager working with our team that audits banks. I was elected to the Board of Selectmen in 2020 and have been the chairman for the last 3 years. I also serve on the Plymouth County Executive Board and the Plymouth County Advisory Board. I served on the Town Administrator Hiring Committee and have successfully negotiated contracts alongside my current board members. I'm one of the 3 founding members and primary organizers of what is now an annual townwide cleanup event, Keep Kingston Clean. I also deliver Meals on Wheels and I'm a member of Dana-Farber Jimmy Fund Walk Advisory Board. Serving as a selectman, I've opened up communication, worked collaboratively to solve problems, and have remained focused on long-term solutions. If you've watched any of the selectmen's meetings over the last 4 years, you know I'm not afraid to stand up for what I think is right, even when I'm in the minority. You've also seen that even when I disagree, I have no problem moving on to the next topic, remaining respectful and focused on the task at hand. Over the last 4 years, I've demonstrated my ability to remain objective and fair and readily share my contact information as I believe it is my responsibility as an elected official to be available and accessible. It has been a privilege to serve on Kingston's Board of Selectmen, and I would be honored should you vote for me, Kimberly Emberg, on May 18th to continue to serve as your representative.
Thank you. That was the opening statement from Kimberly Emberg. Now let's go to Sheila Vaughn.
Hello, I am Sheila Vaughn. I am a Kingston resident for about 25 years now. I was born and raised in Brockton, Mass. I have three children here in Kingston, and my husband is what we consider to be a townie. Born and raised in Kingston. And so I have a junior in high school who's 16. I have a 13-year-old who's in eighth grade at Silver Lake, and I also have a 6-year-old that is in kindergarten. That is correct. I was crazy when I was young. So I have been in Kingston now for a long time, and I got into politics way before I actually had my children. I was actually on the Kingston School Committee before I had my first child, and was on the school committee for about 10 years. And then I decided to become a selectman, and it was a wonderful experience, and I've been a selectman now for about 4 years. So this will be my second term in the 3 years. And I really have enjoyed getting to know my town and getting to know the different people in the different departments. I think getting to know the different community members and also the different committees that we work with, getting to know capital planning and all those other aspects that's not just the schools, although they are half the budget, it is important to get to know the fire, police, and I think we've done a great job of really looking into the different aspects of the town. We have about a $57 million budget coming up this year and a lot of hard decisions to make, but over these past few years, we've seen a really great, vibrant Kingston. I would really like to see more commercial base here in Kingston. I know that there are a lot of issues when it comes to the water moratorium and, you know, a lot of people moving into our town and having to deal with the different aspects of the schools along with our police and fire. So I think that I am really a listener. I listen to both sides. I'm not one to take a side, really, until I hear both sides of it. I am pretty fiscally conservative, but yes, but I do enjoy helping the people in my town. And so I do hope that I get your vote on May 18th.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement with Sheila Vaughn. Now we're going to go to the questions. This was a question that was sent in by a WATD listener because we always ask them if you've got questions for the candidates. So I'm going to read this question that was sent in. And it says, I'm a resident of Kingston who either walks or rides a bike to commute around town. I usually bike a 5-mile circuit through Kingston every morning. And recently I've started making longer trips into the town of Duxbury to shop. This is despite living much closer to a Kingston grocery store, slightly over 1 mile compared to over 3 into Duxbury. The reason for this and the difference between traffic speeds in Duxbury and Kingston are stark, even on roads with similar speed limits. Also, the number of distracted, inattentive, and otherwise seemingly unaware drivers in Kingston can be incredibly troubling. Just this morning, my turning hand signal on my bike was apparently mistaken for a go around me. The assessment would seem to be backed up by a recent Old Colony Planning Council study, which determined rampant speeding and poor recognition of signage right outside my office. I feel safe on the roads in Duxbury. I do not feel as safe on the roads in Kingston. My question is, what are these select board candidates going to do to make Kingston roads safer? Kimberly, let's start with you.
Sure. So we are in the process of a safety assessment across the town. We're prioritizing different areas that to focus on first because it's very difficult to figure out where to start when you have everywhere you'd like to look at once. So we're prioritizing that list currently, and we just recently hired a new police chief who is who just requested funding at the upcoming town meeting for additional patrol officer who is meant to focus specifically on traffic. So increased enforcement, increasing our prioritization of the areas that are most highly mm-hmm. walked or biked. I would say that's my priority is also the signage. We're working with the highway department, so working closely with the superintendent of streets, trees, and parks to ensure that all the signage that should be across town is where it should be.
Okay. Sheila Vaughn, same question.
So I will agree with Kim that, yes, we have our new police chief who has come in and wants to have a traffic enforcement. I can say that while we have been on the board, we have actually changed the speed limits to down to 25 miles an hour in our town, and we're trying to enforce those, you know, not in those in those thickly settled areas. It's very difficult when you have a full town to be able to do that. I have talked to our superintendent of streets, trees, and parks many times. I was just talking to him the other day around the mall and about getting the lines redrawn to make sure that people are taking the right of way. Always asking for to have Old Colony do any type of assessments. Really having that one-on-one conversation with streets, trees, and parks, and I think it's important. If somebody has an issue when it comes to that, to reach out to us and let us know that they're having an issue, and we can try to help them.
Okay. Same question, Missy Bateman.
I think that we need to support the road enforcement. I know that the signs have been decreased and the speed changes have happened, but I think that we have to work closely with our department heads, our new police chief, and I think that we need to make sure that that enforcement happens. It's something that we have to do as a town, and I know that Duxbury does that. I work there. I see them, and I think that that's something we have to ask for and work closely with them to make sure that that happens. It's important for our citizens and the community.
Okay. Tom Gorman, questions for the candidates. Let me just move this. A squeaky mic. There you go.
What do you feel are the major issues facing Kingston?
Okay. Let's start with Sheila.
So, really, some of the major issues that I believe are our school budget this year obviously is has gone up. That is essentially because of some the Department of Education has decided that our integrated preschool needed to move to Silver Lake. It's been a three-year process that has been happening, so that school budget has essentially gone way up and changed from Kingston over to Silver Lake. A water moratorium, huge issue. We need to get our water going again, but also commercial base. I really believe that we need more commercial here in our town, but also I think our really working with our veterans and our Council on Aging and our elderly here is so important, and to have some affordable housing in our town that people can afford to live in houses that are not $3,000 to $4,000 a month for an apartment, but something that people can actually afford.
Okay, same question, Missy.
I think that the Council on Aging is a huge issue right now for the town. I think that we need to support the Council on Aging. I think we need to figure out what the issues are at hand. I know that it's been a hot topic. I think that we have to work together, our board, with the Council on Aging, and figure out how we can make it a better place for them. They're unhappy as a whole. They're going to different Council on Agings to find better things to do and to feel more comfortable, and I think that that's a shame. I think that we need to help them and support them. I also agree. I think the budget, the Silver Lake school budget, is a huge hot topic. You know, I am a proud supporter of educators, being an educator myself. I think that that's an important piece that we need to be able to access, figure out the budget, but being able to keep teachers and their staff is huge. We have to do better for our students, and how we do that is going to be developing economic and businesses in town.
Thank you. That was Missy Bateman. Same question, Kim Emberg.
Voters are going to have a hard time because we're agreeing a lot, so I'm not sure we're setting ourselves apart from one another. Exactly. So I want to start with the water moratorium. So we currently have wells in the Jones River Basin. Mm-hmm. That third well that we will hopefully be installing in the next couple of years, we need to get installed, and that is in the Taunton River Basin. So I apologize to the water commissioners if I'm misspeaking on the exact name of the basin. But that is preventing us from growing the commercial base and growing in a way that we can strategically think through our master plan and what that looks like. We need to look back at that and figure out what do we want Kingston to look like? Is this master plan really achieving mm-hmm. what we want it to look like? We need to look at that as well. The school budget increase, as the other candidates here mentioned, the increase of 9% last year was a lot, and then the increase that could potentially be at town meeting and pass on the 11th of May of 10%, it's unsustainable. So we need to come up with a sustainable solution for that budget increase, or we'll be facing an override next year. There's just no way around it. The contracts are just okay.
I knew I'd get to
there's more
that bill. Okay, here's the part, and I don't know how much people want to say, but we got a few phone calls here from some I would say some residents of Kingston who are upset about whatever's happening at the Council on Aging, which I'm not quite sure because people didn't want to say. Everything seems like a mystery. Can somebody tell me, and I'm going to ask you between the candidates, what's the drama going on there? Can you tell me something and why people are upset? Because this shouldn't be happening, and I don't know exactly what is happening. Missy.
So I think it's something that we have to get in and speak to the collective group of the Council on Aging. I think that there's a Friends of the Council on Aging, and there's a new Council on Aging department head, and I think that they're butting heads on different issues. And just watching the Selectmen's meeting, talking to some of the Council on Aging mm-hmm. members, we want the seniors to feel safe, and we want them to feel welcome, and we want them to feel heard. And that doesn't seem to be the case right now. And I think we need to get in there and really find out what's going on. We have to talk to them. And I think that's a big missing piece right now.
Okay. Kim, what are your thoughts on this, the same issue?
It's a complicated one. So there are definitely two sides to the situation. I'm not saying one is right and one is wrong. I think there's a lot of work to be done to bring everybody to a place where they can collaborate and work together toward a solution. People are really passionate. They're really passionate. And sometimes when things don't go the way that they think they should, it gets heated, let's say that. So I think there probably are ways that we can move forward and quickly. It's just there may be some employee issues that need to get figured out. I don't really know that piece, and I'm not sure I want to talk about it mm-hmm. on the radio, but should there be a conflict that we can, let me say it this way. I go to the Council on Aging once a month. I have selectman office hours. There are lots of people there who are really happy, lots of people there who are really unhappy. I'd like to try to find a middle ground where everyone is happy. I don't know I can make everyone happy every time, but I'm going to try.
Okay. Thank you. Same question, Sheila Vaughn.
So between these two, I think that they've kind of said a little bit about what the situation is. There is our Friends of Kingston, and there's also our Council on Aging director, which I believe are butting heads regarding some of those different issues in our town. Some of it has to do with, you know, having lunches and you know, those types of things. But it's also bigger issues, I think, that we need to address. And the hard part is, you know, neither one really are... We want to be able to listen, and they're both very passionate, but I think both sides are kind of have their way, and then there's always that middle. Like, there's a middle somewhere, and I've talked to many people from both sides, and I don't know if there will be a middle, but we have to. It's come to a head, and I think it's really important for us to figure out what we can do, because they have to work together in our town to have a cohesive Council on Aging. And right now, there's not a cohesive Council on Aging right now. And that is well known to the town.
Okay. You're listening to a political forum. The town is Kingston. The race is for the select board. Let's go to Tom Gorman now. Questions for the candidates. Let me just move this mic over here.
The MBTA Housing Zoning Act has been a hot topic lately around the South Shore. How should Kingston approach this particular zoning act?
Let's start with Sheila Vaughn on that question.
Sure. So we've done a lot of work, and I have to give a really shout out to Valerie Massard and Jason Silva, who are really working hard with the MBTA to figure out what we're going to do with this housing. You know, we already have 200 apartments right at our Kingston Collection, and, you know, we are hopefully going to be able to use some of those as part of that. But we have to have the infrastructure available to at least look at it, even if we are not going to build it. We have to have the infrastructure to be able to do that. And Valerie and Jason are working hard to figure that out. Whether or not we have to build it, that's still to come. I don't think we're going to be a Milton where we just say it's not going to be there. We have to figure out somehow to do an infrastructure. But if we're going to build it, that's another story. So I think the MBTA came out with this a little fast, and I don't think they have to kind of catch up to what they did. And I think that we all have to kind of take a step back as to what they're thinking about.
Okay. Same question, Missy Bateman.
Sure. So our state government and the MBTA view our train station as a community asset, and they view it as a privilege
to serve the MBTA host community for us to serve. They view it as an economic driver, and most importantly, the Commonwealth views the MBTA station as the foundation on which to build affordable housing within its geographic proximity. I think failure for us in Kingston to focus on this mandate is going to create significant problems for us in the future. We could lose state funding. We could pay substantial penalties. I think closing our eyes to the state housing mandate is going to place the future of Kingston in a difficult spot. I think we need to work together to prioritize the community's wants and the mandates that we put forth. And I think we need to look at other communities and how they're dealing with this to help support what we can do here in Kingston.
Okay. Same question, Kim.
We established a subcommittee a while back when this first was rolled out so that we could address the needs of Kingston. For Kingston. So, as Sheila mentioned, Valerie Massard, town planner, and Jason Silva, the community development director, are key people on that group, also involved as the planning board, zoning board of appeals, members of the board of selectmen. So, they presented a plan both to the planning board as well as the board of selectmen and the public in one of our meetings, showing they have a plan, and they also received a waiver. So, Kingston received a waiver for some of that district to be outside that half-mile radius around the train station. We are very fortunate that we have them all. We have a lot of apartments that are already there. So keep in mind, this law is zoning by right. So it's not forcing to build yet. I don't know what will come down the pike. But for now, it's just asking communities to zone for multifamily housing in the future. We have a plan. It looks like we will be very lucky in the town of Kingston that we can execute on that plan. I would say I am not supportive of state mandates, though, and I would caution more of them.
Okay. I want to ask you a question. All three of you are either involved with schools or you have school-age children. Is there a cell phone policy in the schools in Kingston, Sheila?
So there is a cell phone policy in the schools. Whether or not the students actually achieve that is interesting. As I have children on all sides of it, so I have a 13-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 16-year-old. My 16-year-old, I believe, needs her cell phone at certain points because, you know, she is driving. She does need to talk to me about certain things. I don't know if my 13-year-old really needs to have his phone in school at all. I think he doesn't really need that. I think teenagers, I think you have to, as a parent as well, look at your child and see are they making good decisions with that or not. But the school is so important. You know, I've sat on the school council for a while now and tried to look at these different types of policies. And cell phones are hard. They're not easy. A lot of parents want to be able to get in touch with their child at any point at any time. I don't think my 6-year-old needs to have a phone. I don't think my 13-year-old needs to have a phone. I think my 16-year-old, if she is responsible, can have a phone, but not in her classes, and it needs to be put down and put on the side.
Okay, let me ask you, what is the policy?
The policy is that students are supposed to leave them in the lockers. They're not supposed to have them out. But the high school has been a little bit more lenient because they use them as their calculators or they use them as another way. So it's really a teacher-by-teacher type of situation where I think some teachers say, don't bring it in my classroom, and others don't. But we are, as a school, looking at policies for that. And it's hard because the students really love their phones.
Okay, what do you think personally? I remember being the crabby old reporter here. It was always like, don't bring a distraction into the classroom. So if a kid was reading a comic book, put it away. And to me, I can't believe that they let kids even have them on in schools. How can they be concentrating when they're playing games and sending messages? Do you think that there should be cell phones in the schools?
I would say, as a person who works with people all day long who are on their phones, absolutely not. They should not have them in the classroom. I think a classroom is a learning place, and even in my office of business, I do believe that people need to put their phones away and do their jobs and be listening to the teachers and learning. So, no, I don't believe that they should be in the classroom.
Okay, and I'm going to ask you the same question. We know what the policy is now. Missy Bateman, do you think the policy is a good policy in the Kingston schools or needs to be changed?
I think that the no cell phone policy is a good one. I've heard from teachers at the high school that it's difficult to keep the kids' attention during their lessons, and they only have them for a short amount of time, and the teachers have a big job to do, and they only have a short amount of time to do it, and the kids are distracted on their phones. I do think that there's a lot of documented research out there on the troubles that the cell phones can cause kids with the distractibility, but kids need phones to be able to contact families. Mm-hmm. So I think not allowing the kids to have the phones or use them in the classroom is the right way to do it. I know that some teachers ask them to put them in a basket up at the front of the room, but we also gave kids laptops, and they have access to the mm-hmm. Wi-Fi and the laptops, and so it's a difficult time for us now to figure out what's important. Is it the lessons right in front of us? Mm-hmm. Are we going to use the laptops? Are cell phones what we need? My personal opinion is no. I think that they should not be in the classrooms.
Okay. Kimberly, what do you think about cell phones in the classrooms in the schools in Kingston?
Well, my kids are too young for cell phones, so I don't have a personal stake in this. But if the Silver Lake Regional School Committee has determined there is a policy for cell phones, and that policy is that there should not be cell phones in the classroom, I would argue that that policy should be enforced and followed. And if it's not a policy that is enforced and followed, then the school committee should be looking at it again and finding out what policy would work. I also would argue that I don't think kids need cell phones to contact their families, because we didn't have cell phones when we were in school and we could contact our families. So I agree, if there's no cell phones in the classroom, that's probably the best way to go. And I'm a fan of enforcing policies when they make sense.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to A Forum tonight. It's the Kingston Select Board, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Mark your calendar for the Talking Information Center Starry Night Gala, happening on Thursday, June 6th, 5 till 9 at Indian Pond Country Club in Kingston. For a packed night of food and fun to raise awareness for this longtime South Shore nonprofit organization. The Talking Information Center is a volunteer-driven radio reading service serving the visually impaired population of Massachusetts. The evening is hosted by WATD radio personality Rob Hakala, and live music and dancing provided by the multi-New England Music Award-nominated band Total Strangers. The evening also features great auction items and recognition of star TIC volunteers of over 46 years. That's the Talking Information Center Starry Night Gala, Thursday, June 6th, 5 till 9 at Indian Pond Country Club in Kingston. For tickets, more information, or to just make a contribution, visit the Talking Information Center at ticnetwork.org. That's ticnetwork.org.
On Saturday, May 18 at 2 p.m., Ventress Memorial Library in Marshfield is excited to welcome Thea Hopkins for a special concert. Thea Hopkins is an award-winning writer and musician who plays a mix of both traditional and contemporary Indigenous music. She is a member of Aquana Wampanoag Tribe of Martha's Vineyard. This Red Roots Americana concert is free and open to the public. We'll see you there.
WATD's Political Forum continues. Now, back to Studio B. Here's your moderator, Christine James.
Good evening. We're back to our political forum. It's the town of Kingston. Three candidates here running for select board. We've got two of the incumbents, Kimberly Emberg, Sheila Vaughn, and Missy Bateman, also active in town politics, and she is the challenger for one of the two seats that is up. Now, we talked about cell phones right before we went to the break. Tom, did you want to ask the next question, or would you like me to jump in?
Sure.
Okay, let me move this squeaky mic over.
What do you feel Kingston can do to increase its commercial base?
Good question. Let's start with Kimberly Emberg.
Well, I think first we need to be looking at where the available properties are that are zoned for commercial and start thinking about what we as a community want to see there, and then start actively, proactively recruiting for those businesses. So seeking input from the Kingston Business Association as well, and really using them as the partner that they are to expand. They've partnered recently with the Chamber of Commerce in Plymouth, and I think it's a great resource, and I think we can really really make a lot of strides there. I'd like us to focus on small businesses as well. So.
Okay. Same question, Sheila.
Sure. So I know that the Kingston Collection just actually came with new owners, and I know that they have amazing new options. They haven't given us all the great new exciting things that they're happening, but I think it's great that that's some new innovative things going on with the Kingston Collection. But also, you know, I think there are bases that we can really work with. I think we are working with anybody that wants to come in. I think it's really important to talk to us and work with us. You know, I work with the Chamber of Commerce quite often myself in my other life, and having us partner with them really is going to be a game changer for us. But I do like small business, but I'd love to see some other businesses come in and make a name for themselves as well. So,
okay, same question, Missy.
Sure. I know that the KBA is looking for the community to participate and support businesses brought into Kingston. And in order to support smart growth, I think we need to make an investment in our infrastructure. I know we talked a little bit about the water moratorium, and that's creating an issue, obviously. This will be crucial to supporting the future economic and business growth in town. I think we need to support our businesses that we have now, and this is our first step in making it happen.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about affordability. Now, this is something that seems to come up over and over. All the small towns, and communities, and some of them not so small anymore that we cover, now have tremendous budgets. Even from, I've been here 34 years, I'm just remembering the numbers from years ago. You've got a lot of town administrators or town managers. You've got very well-paid police chiefs, fire chiefs, very professional departments in the schools. You're talking about a lot of money. Do you think this model is sustainable, and are you worried down the road with, you know, other post-employment benefits, et cetera, that you might start to see some of these towns go bankrupt? Because some people are saying there is no, this model is not sustainable unless your taxes are just going to increase to a point where no one's going to be able to afford to live in the town. Missy, am I wrong or am I right?
No, I think you're right. I think the town budget is asking for $57 million about. That's increased from $54 million. I know that was supported both by the Selectmen and the Finance Committee, but the Finance Committee stressed at their most recent meeting that their current increase in budget over the last few years is not sustainable. I think we need to figure out a way to keep the budget in check while at the same time making up for the increase in budget costs from both the town and the school budgets. I think this looks like economic development, but how do we do this well? We need to increase our economic development while at the same time working closely on the housing crisis. And I think this is going to take strong leadership, lots of discussion, and difficult decisions. And we have to have our citizens and the community's best interest in mind.
Okay. Do you have one? This is a follow-up question.
Sure.
Do you have one specific cost-saving measure that you would propose?
Well, I think that thinking about the school budget and in that affecting our town budget, I think that we are very top heavy with administrators. And I think that that's something that we really have to look at closely. I think we have to keep our teachers, the staff. I mean, they're the people that are in the classrooms working with our students. But we're top heavy with administrators, and that started with COVID funding. And I think that's a bigger picture. I think we have to look at that first.
Okay, let's go to you, Kim. Next, same question. What do you think? I mean, you're a financial person. Do you think this model is sustainable?
We need new growth. We need commercial, but in a manageable mm-hmm. way. So I'm not talking about ballooning growth. I'm talking about smart, strategic growth. We need to look at our zoning and make sure we're zoned the way that we should be in order to have the right growth where we want it to be. I think we need to have an audit of the schools because I don't understand the budget. I'm not sure everybody does. So I think that there are a lot of questions. I just want to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And we really know right now this is a tough year. We integrated the Silver Lake Integrated Preschool into the Silver Lake District. It made the finances very complicated. It's very hard. You can't do an apples to apples comparison. So I think an audit of that budget next year would be warranted. I think it will give us a lot of information and it'll give us a better idea. But no, as things are right now, it's not sustainable. We need to find a solution.
Oh, okay. And Sheila, your thoughts?
So I will agree, you know, it is not sustainable. I can say that the new special education director is doing an audit of all the IEPs that have come through since COVID, making sure that we're not super top heavy on these IEPs and 504s. You know, I have a child on an IEP, so I am very passionate about my child getting special education, and that is a very heavy cost in Kingston. People come to our town because of our special education. It is one of the biggest costs in our town. We used to separate out our regular day and our special education to see what the costs were, and exponentially the costs were coming from special education, which is a mandate, and it's not coming from the regular day budget. So it is difficult. I think the schools are a huge dynamic to us. I know that we've had a lot of people move into our town that are costing extra money. That's huge. We need to get the state to pay us back for some of these things that we need to have. We have to get fully funded for a lot of our different mandates that are there. But I also believe in the commercial base as well. I think it's important to get some commercial base and really be able to grow our town, but we can't keep it the way it is.
Okay. I'm just going to jump in here and ask a follow-up since we're talking about affordability. I know a lot of times we'll have county commissioners on and they talk about having regional services. And right now it seems like they're kind of dancing around the edges. They talk about, you know, dredging the ponds, taking care of things like that. In other parts of the country, police and fire are done by township, or they have like four or five towns, and it's regional. I know I'm going on the third rail here because it's like a little fiefdom. Every small town here on the South Shore has their own departments, and they're good departments because we work with all of them. They're very good to work with. They're good with information, and they care about their people. Do you think that there may be a change coming? They've got regional dispatches. Do you think any of these towns will ever put their departments together, whether it's police and fire? And would you support that, Sheila?
You know, I think being around us, you know, we're next to Plymouth, huge town, but Plimpton and Halifax are next to us, and they, you know, we are regional school district. So, you know, we work with them a little bit with the police and fire when it comes to those situations. I think we're a bigger town than those other two. I think, you know, coming together, we do tend to come together a lot with different bigger things that have happened in our towns. We've had a lot of strife in our town in the past couple of years with, you know, the Duxbury incident and things like that, which I think we've come together. I think it doesn't hurt if you are making it right, but we do have unions we have to keep happy as well. So we have to be careful of what is, you know, talking to those unions and making sure that we're making those right decisions, because I don't want to upset the apple cart too much, because I want the right police officers and fire here, and I want, you know, mm-hmm. I want them to be here. But I also think that those smaller towns might want to think about that.
Okay. What are your thoughts on that, Kimberly?
I don't know that regionalizing public safety makes sense. We do mutual aid, so helping other mm-hmm. communities and communities help us, for instance, with brush fires. I do think regionalization would make sense with something like transportation. School transportation costs are up 200%. This is something that the Plymouth County Commissioners have been speaking with us about. That's potentially mm-hmm. a way we can regionalize something. Another idea that's been spoken about briefly is potentially animal control. So having animal control officers in various communities, but maybe the buildings could be more regionalized rather than in separate communities. I don't know if that's a viable idea, but it's something that we've been talking about. So I think there are a lot of opportunities for this, and this is one of the major topics we discuss in the advisory board and executive board meetings with Plymouth County, is how could we work together regionally to come up with solutions that ultimately save our communities money and save the taxpayers as well.
Missy, what are your thoughts on this? Would you support something like that, going to regional services for police or fire?
I think that we have to have some hard conversations, collaborative conversations with both the chiefs to see if that's something that would work for their departments. I think they know they're the professionals in what they do, and I think that they know what's going to be best. I'm not supportive of regionalizing at this point. I guess I'd have to look at the cost benefits to it, but I do know, just as was already mentioned, we do a lot of mutual aid. I know that the police chief spoke at the recent Board of Selectmen meeting stating that, you know, we're going to need an increase in police officers. We don't have the number that we need, but how do we do that with a budget that mm-hmm. we're affected currently? So I think it's going to take a lot of collaboration and conversation. I think that's important with those department heads.
And just a reminder, you're listening to a WATD Political Forum. It's the race for Kingston Select Board. We've got the three candidates here, Kimberly Emberg, Sheila Vaughn, and Missy Bateman. Now, Tom Gorman, question for the candidates.
Some communities have been dealing with migrants coming into their communities and being housed. Is Kingston in a position to support migrants?
Let's start with Missy Bateman.
So I think our hotel and shelters with our migrant population is a hot topic right now. I think while Kingston is a welcoming and gracious community, I think the current situation is not without its challenges. The strain that it places on the schools, EMS, law enforcement, health services are just a few of those challenges. I think we have to advocate for additional state resources and funding. I know that we're receiving some funding right now. It's around $100 a student, and I think $1,000 stipend. But we need to be kept whole on the lost room meals and taxes. I think that's our biggest issue right now. I think we have to work with our state in a direct way to demand that all of the impacts are fully mitigated. I think complaining is a natural response to the situation, and I've heard a lot of that. However, I think our leaders need to address these concerns with a clear understanding, and I think we need to work with our legislative delegation to make sure that Kingston's supported.
Okay, same question, Kim.
So something to keep in mind as well is this, the hotel in Kingston is a privately owned business, and they signed an agreement with the state. So this is a little bit outside the jurisdiction of the Board of Selectmen. However, that said, the state has not provided sufficient funding support for this initiative that they have placed in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And there are financial repercussions from the schools to public safety, as Missy mentioned. And while calls have increased for police and fire, the nature of those calls have changed because it's a different group of people staying there. Now, I understand another community recently changed their zoning to not allow their hotel to have long-term housing at their hotel, long-term stays.
Mm-hmm.
Our hotel is zoned for long-term stays. So if this is something like our community wants to consider doing as well, that's something that could be considered at a future town meeting. So it's a challenge. We're doing the best we can with it, and I encourage you to reach out to your state representatives with your concerns, because this falls squarely in the state's hands.
Okay. Sheila, same thought. Same question.
Sure. So, you know, I work a lot with, you know, students on a daily basis, so I really have something in my heart. I understand, coming from a country that was you know, living in a hotel is better than what they've been living, and I totally understand where they're coming from. But to, you know, get a one day's notice that 100 people are coming to your town that doesn't have the infrastructure to support that, and we've done a really great job of trying to get the infrastructure, but Plymouth County can only do so much. You know, we are not a Boston. We don't have the resources 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Thank goodness we have Plymouth next to us, so we've been able to help and outreach. But, you know, we need, you know, people that can be in the education fields. We have to have those ELL teachers that we have exponentially. You know, that's why our town also, our budget is going up. We need the ELL, but we also have to have different aspects of it. And, you know, we were told that they would not be keep coming in, and then they're still keep coming in. So it doesn't seem like there's going to be an end in sight. And, yes, I have spoken to our legislators quite a few times about this situation.
Okay. Let me ask you. I'm just going to ask you real quickly, even though this is not the lightning round. Do you think Kingston has been asked to do more than their fair share, two sentences, with this situation with the migrants?
I do believe that it's more than we can handle.
Okay. Missy, same question.
Yes, I think it's more than we can handle, and we need to find and support some funding to make this happen for the schools.
Kimberly, same
Kingston
question.
Kingston is a community with a hotel, just like many others in Massachusetts that have this very similar problem.
Okay. Tom, questions for the candidates.
The town recently went into a power purchase agreement with Eversource. What are your thoughts about that?
Let's start with you, Kim.
Power to the people.
I mean, anything we can do to collaborate and lower energy costs, I'm for that. So, I mean, I don't really have much to add other than our role is to try to do what we can to reduce the not just the taxes, but make sure Kingston is at the forefront of anything that we can do to make our lives better. So if Kingston residents benefit from a power purchase agreement, then that's I'm glad we did that.
Missy, what do you think? Do you agree with that?
So I think I need more time to understand the whole power purchase, but if it's going to help support the residents and the citizens, then of course I'm all for it. I think I'd have to dive deep into what the ramifications of that are. But
okay, we're going to turn the lights off right now. I'm just kidding. Let's go to you, Sheila Vaughn.
So again, I think that that's great, but you know, we work very hard with Eversource. I think we've been harder and harder on them, especially as you know, people are having larger and larger poles put in their backyards, and I think we had a huge issue with that a few months ago. And we really want to learn more about what this means in our town. Everybody needs power, and we need more power, and there's more people. And nobody wants anything in their backyard, but I do believe that we want a sustainable, and I want to keep my lights on. So, yes.
I want to talk a little bit more about affordable housing. This is something that comes up again. People say it's not affordable. It is affordable. But I'm always, show me the data. I want to know, in your opinion, what do you think is affordable for renting an apartment or purchasing a home in the community of Kingston? Give me a number. Sheila Vaughn, what do you think is an affordable house?
So I'm on the Affordable Housing Trust, also as a selectman.
Okay.
So I can say that in our town, we are not affordable. You have to have, I work, me and my husband both work full-time, And thank goodness that he bought a house from his father, because we probably wouldn't be living in this town. An apartment here is about $3,000 to $4,000 a month, not sustainable for a person who's coming right out of school, or you know, newly married. You know, our town is really for somebody who has some roots and has been working for a long time and has some money in their bank account. So affordability, I know that on our warrant this year. For an article, we actually are doing the accessory housing, which I'm very much in favor of, and so is in the Affordable Housing Trust. So getting some of that, I think, would help for people.
Give me a number for a house.
For a house?
Yep.
I would like to say, for me, I think $500,000 is what we should be in our time.
Okay. Same question, Kim Amberg. What? Give me a number. What you think is an affordable house in Kingston? What should be affordable?
It's such a difficult question to answer. I mean, I would say closer to like $350,000 or $400,000 personally.
Okay.
I think that Massachusetts is one of the most expensive states to live in this country. So, in order to be able to afford to live here, you have to make a significant amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have roommates? Do you have two families sharing one single family home? There are a lot of creative living situations, and I think the accessory dwelling unit question on the town meeting warrant for people to consider will address some of those, not a lot, but some of that, so that we can bring our teenager into a small apartment in our homes, or our parent who is aging into a more reasonable living space than maybe their large home. I don't think affordability is an easy question to answer, but
I'm so glad I asked.
500 is probably more than I would say.
Okay. What do you think? What are the numbers, Missy?
I think if we had to put a number on it, I think 400 to 450 would be affordable, but I don't even know if that's affordable if you're just starting out, to be honest. I think our cost of living is going up, and our increases in what we are getting paid and what we're bringing in isn't supporting that increase. So I think the accessory building unit is giving some flexibility to homeowners. I think that we have to be careful with how that's going to play out, but I do think that's an important piece. I think being able to bring family members back and having a dwelling that is on your property is only supporting family, community, and the cost of living.
Okay. Tom, another question for the candidates here.
The May 11th town meeting is coming up. What are some of the priorities that you feel will be taken up?
Okay.
I guess maybe what, the three biggest issues?
Yes.
Let's start with you, Missy.
So I think for the town, I think the biggest issue is going to be the budget. I think that especially the school budget is going to be a big topic on the floor. I anticipate some changes being made, and I think that's the biggest hot topic, I think. I also think that some of the great things are like the ADU bylaw. I think that's going to be important, that accessory building unit. And I also think that we're doing some great things. We're increasing senior and veteran tax write-offs. So I think that that's, their work-off. I think that that's important. I think all of those are going to be hot topics for us.
Okay, same question, Kimberly.
I think the three major articles I would say would be the acquisition of land for both the well as well as accessing the leaching field for the sewer treatment facility, the budget and the school budget, and the capital planning article, which addresses replacing a lot of the equipment that has aged and is past its useful life. So the equipment, the vehicles, especially for the highway department, they are taking 2 years to get here just because of supply chain issues. So it takes time to get here. We've got it on the plan. It's a significant ask to town meeting, but mm-hmm. it's something we need to do now while we can, and we have free cash to do it. So it's an important initiative, and I think it's a big ask, but we need to do it.
Sheila, what are your thoughts?
So they took my thunder, but I will say that that we just had our new police chief come in and ask for what was not in the budget before, and about he asked for about $200,000, and he had $500,000 on it. So I think that's going to be an ask that people are going to want to know about. But I think he has a great option for it, and I think he's done a good job of coming in and doing that and trying to get where he can to be able to sustain in his department. But I also believe that, like Kim said, the eminent domain of the well. And of course the budget, every year the budget, but the capital planning of the I support the superintendent of Street Streets and Parks for his vehicles, because if we wait any longer, it takes years to get these, and if you go all to electric, it's actually at a conference today, you know, it's going to be another $300,000 more than it is now.
Okay. I want to do this. I want to go to the lightning round now, and this is when the questions will either be yes or no, or one or two sentences, and the reporter will ask. And if you listen to any of these forums, you know I always ask the first question. It's always the same one. Plymouth County government, stay or go? Let's start with you, Sheila. Ooh. Stay or go?
Stay.
Okay. Stay or go, Kimberly?
Stay.
Okay. Missy?
Stay.
Stay or go? Okay.
Stay.
Tom Gorman? You can stay. Okay. Let me ask. All right. NIPS. Banned in Kingston, or yes or no, Sheila?
Yes.
Okay, Missy?
Yes. It's a huge problem.
Kimberly?
No, it won't solve the problem.
Okay. Two sentences. What works in Kingston government, and what needs to change? Kimberly?
Oh, that's hard.
Lightning.
I know. What works in Kingston government? Okay, yeah. So public participation and encouraging sharing of information. What doesn't work, many, many, many elected boards not coordinating with each other's plans.
Okay. Same question, Sheila.
I believe that having a town meeting is important, and having that work for the town. What's not working, I believe, is, not talking to each other from different committees.
Okay. Same question. Missy.
Collaboration. And I think what is not working is not making decisions.
Okay. It's good. Now, can you believe this? We've almost to the end here. We're just going to do our closing statements. We're going to reverse the order that we started with. So this will be Sheila, then Kim, then Missy. So let's start with Sheila Vaughn, your closing statement. 1 minute, please.
Thank you. So I want to know, I don't have anything in front of me. I'm a public speaker, so I'm going to try to do this without my paper. So I'm Sheila Vaughn, and I really appreciate tonight talking to me, Christine. Thank you so much for letting us have our few moments. I really hope that you come out and vote for me on May 18th, and come out to our town meeting on May 11th, and make your voice heard. I hope that you see that I've done a good job for the past 4 years, and that you'd like me to stay on the committee. I'm open and transparent, and I think my integrity speaks for itself. So thank you.
Thank you. That was a closing statement from Sheila Vaughn. Let's go to Kim Emberg now.
Over the last 4 years serving as a selectman, I've demonstrated my strength as a fair and just leader, successfully moderating passionate discussions between opposing parties and reaching tenable solutions to problems. I've led by example and have shown that I'm skilled at creating order out of chaos. While progress has been made, we still have work to do. We have state mandates that we need to manage, a public safety complex we need to plan for, fund and build, and an unsustainable school budget that we need to get under control. In order to accomplish all of that, we need strong, dedicated, and proven leadership at the helm. If you want a selectman who puts the needs of Kingston first, who's an independent thinker and isn't afraid to vote no when everyone else votes yes, a selectman who advocates for you, taking your phone calls and meeting with you at your home, business, or even at the ball fields, then you should vote for me, Kimberly Emberg, on May 18th to remain your representative on Kingston's Board of Selectmen.
Thank you very much. That was Kimberly Emberg. Now we're going to go to the closing statement, Missy Bateman.
Please vote for Melissa Bateman on May 18th. As a selectman, I understand leaders are elected to make hard decisions, and I'm willing to do that. I want to bring conversation and community to the forefront of the Board of Selectmen. I want to have meaningful and powerful discussion at meetings that support a collective understanding and can make movement on topics. I want to encourage constructive and engaging meetings between department heads and professionals. I want to support positive leadership in all town departments. I want to make Kingston a place people want to work, live, and engage in community events, offer transparency, build meaningful and supportive connections with members of the community, provide a positive voice for this community, cultivate and strengthen relationships with local constituents by organizing community forums, addressing public concerns, and spearheading community improvement projects that enhance the town's infrastructure and quality of life. Come out and vote on May 18th.
Thank you very much. You've been listening to the three candidates for two seats on the select board, Kimberly Emberg, Sheila Vaughn, and Missy Bateman. This will be up on our website, this entire forum. Of course, this was live here tonight. We want to thank Tom Gorman for asking questions with us and Maeve Hamley for doing the timing. And as we say at the end of every one of these forums, come out and vote on May 18th. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James, 95.9 WATD.